Guy James Show is on in less than 1 minute.
Life! Life, you hear me? Give my creation life!
So this was fun.
You're going to like this.
Let go!
Right now!
Well, this is it.
Let's get this over with.
So this is good. We got progress.
Any questions before we proceed?
Good countdown.
Six. Five, four, three, two, one.
You have entered the restricted broadcast area. You have entered the restricted broadcast.
Your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country.
I have a dream.
This is the Guy James Show. Guy James Show, America's number one Democratic talk show. You've heard from the radical right. Now, all that's left is the truth. And now here's Guy James.
Hey, you bet I'm here. And I'm telling you what, I couldn't wait. I couldn't wait for Tuesday to get here this week. That's how much I look forward to this week. And so glad to have everybody along with us today here on the Guy James Show. Plan to have a lively program for you today. Had a chance to do a lot of watching, reading, and thinking over the weekend, and my brain is full of stuff that I simply have to vent today. And I hope you're ready to listen, because we're going to have a good show for you today. If you are not in the mood for something a bit controversial, if you're not in the mood for something a bit... let me say a little bit on the rough side today, then maybe you better go listen to some music or something. All right? That's just the kind of mood I'm in, and that's the way it's going to be. I'm sorry. It's on my mind, and you know me. If it's on my mind, boom, there it is. You're going to get it, and I hope I don't offend anybody. If I do, let me apologize ahead of time, okay? Actually, I feel like my old football coach, Woody Hayes, about apologizing. It's too late. You've already done it. you can pay forward, but you can't go back. So anyway, aside from that, and congratulations to my beloved Ohio State Buckeyes this weekend. Did a nice job. Looking forward to that great big game with the Texas Longhorns coming up at 8 o'clock Eastern Time Saturday night. Can't wait for that. I really can't. Well, God, I love college football. Anyway, that's not what this program is about. This program is usually about politics all the time. All right. And that's what it's going to be about today. But and you can give us a call. I'm not going to answer the phones for a few minutes, because I got a few things to get off my chest, if you don't mind. Okay, 866-546-5254. 866-546-5254. But do wait just a few minutes, because I got a couple of things that I just have to talk about, and I know you'll understand. I'll get to the politics in a minute. Because there's a hell of a lot to talk about on that end. You know there is. There's an awful lot to talk about there, and we're going to talk about it, and we're going to lay it on the line today for you. But first of all, I do want to let you know that I'm going to have Mike Malloy on the show one day this week, trying to work that out. He and Kathy are traveling today, tomorrow and Thursday, and whenever they get settled, wherever they're at and everything, we're going to try and work it out that we get Mike on the show to talk about this royal screwing that the wonderful people at Air America, and I don't give a damn if people are Air America fans, fine, but anybody, any organization that screws Mike Malloy the way they did is crap in my book from now on, and will never have another chance with me. That's it. Nothing. They're gone. They never existed. You don't treat a pro like Mike Malloy the way they treated him. You do not. And I suppose that by now the management of Air America knows how Joe McCarthy felt after Edward R. Murrow was finished with him. McCarthy wasn't a stupid man. He was a zealot. He was vain. He had an ego the size of Jupiter, and he was bullheaded. He was all that and more, but he wasn't stupid. And I suspect he might even have been insane, but he wasn't stupid. And he knew what he was doing when he betrayed the trust of the American people. He was a puppet for a group of Americans who had been overtaken by paranoia, the likes of which had never been seen before in this country, and probably not since, although we're approaching it right now. And, you know, the famous Red Menace scare we had in the early 50s. He was merely following orders from the power brokers who control this country and probably still do. He was a willing pawn because he needed his ego fed constantly, and they were willing to feed him well. You know, the commies around every corner, your neighbors, the showbiz people, the TV and radio business, even your Uncle Charlie, because he might have once spoken to a guy who thought collective bargaining and working to help each other was a good thing. They were all under suspicion, and so it is today. Why do I bring Air America into the discussion about McCarthyism? It's simple. It's because of what happened to Mike Malloy. Air America started out to be the voice of liberalism, or progressives, or whatever you call yourselves if you're left of the political center. Air America was going to be this beacon of light that had been needed for so long by those who were tired of hearing nothing but neocon right-wingers on the radio 24-7 without anything else being out there to refute their damnable rhetoric day after day after day, their ridiculous charges, or in most cases, their outright lies and their propaganda. Previous to Air America, there had been a few of us out here in the liberal radio wilderness doing what we could to stem the tide of the overwhelming right-wing radio presence. But we were outnumbered 1,000-1. But we were doing what we could do to level the playing field. And there was no big money involved for any liberal broadcaster that I know of, certainly not the kind of bucks the Hannitys and the Limbaughs and their ilk are using to pull them down. I know that in my own case, my liberal radio program required that I pay for most of it. Money from sponsors and donors didn't come close to paying the bills for the show. And I know that Mike Malloy wasn't exactly getting rich over at IE America either. And people like Mario Cuomo had tried to get a liberal radio program off the ground and failed. And other experienced radio folks gave it a shot. But there wasn't much interest and even less support. So there we were. Silence on the left, being pummeled every single day, 24-7 on America's radio waves, and the right-wingers completely took over the medium of talk radio. They owned it almost lock, stock, and barrel. And here was this little IE American network, sponsored by the UAW in Detroit, trying to make it. Mike was there, Peter Werbe, and some other liberal radio pioneers, and IE America was canceled for lack of financial support. And so along comes Air America. Oh, the much ballyhooed Air America. Blah, 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 blah. Oh, my God, they're going to be the saviors of the left. Loads of publicity preceding its debut. No one gave it a chance. So AAR goes out and they find a couple of celebrities, some people that people had heard of. And they got noticed. They got Al Franken and Janine Garofalo. They were their two headliners, neither of which had any radio experience to speak of, any that I know of at all. Just to make a name. And they signed Randy Rhodes, the only real radio pro in the whole outfit to start out with, along with a few other of the progressives or liberal communities, you know, that were vaguely familiar with. Mike wasn't there at the start of AAR. But basically, Franken, Garofalo, and Randy were the mainstays of the network, and reportedly, Franken commanded the big bucks since it was his name that was drawing all the attention to the network, since he'd been a writer for Saturday Night Live and he was a part-time actor and authorized a couple of books and a comedian. And in my book, not very goddamn funny at that. Never was, never will be, in my opinion. That's why there's a million comedians out there, because we all got different senses of humor. But Al was totally green concerning radio. But his partner, Liz Wanstead, helped make his show at least tolerable for a while. And since she left, it's been, in my humble opinion, boring and almost unlistenable. Oh, sure, he gets some great guests. He's well connected with the DLC. But he's a hell of a lot more interested in talking over him to get in a punchline or two than allowing the guests to speak their minds. And you may well think that Al's the best ever and that I've got a lot of nerve criticizing, but this is my honest opinion, and many of you may well have an opinion of my style that's somewhat less than I'd like to hear. But that's okay. It's radio, and that's the nature of the beast. But I'm of the opinion that Mike could not possibly have been fired for financial reasons. That's ludicrous. And the people at AAR know it. If indeed that actually is the reason for letting him go, then they really are in dire straits indeed. No, Mike has stepped on somebody's toes. I don't know whose for sure, but something has to be, you know, something he's said has upset the wrong people, and Mike is now paying a heavy price for it. I believe this to be true, and I know many of you do as well. The shame of it all, the real shame of it all, is that we're talking about a so-called progressive, and damn, I hate that word, progressive. I'm a liberal. But we're talking about a progressive or liberal network where free speech is, in my opinion, absolutely sacrosanct as long as you're on terrestrial radio and you obey the FCC rules, and he didn't violate them as far as I know. It's the right which is trying to stifle free speech. It's the neocon movement led by the Cheneys and your Rumsfeld and your Junior Bush and the others who want to shut up people that don't agree with their political radicalism. The fact is, I know, and you know, Mike has a large, ultra-loyal following. He's abrasive, he's caustic, he's fierce, he's obnoxious at times, he's untamable and tougher than nails, but he's all Mike. He is what he seems to be on the radio. He is not an actor putting on a show for you. His true feelings come out during each of his show, and if it's a little hard for someone to hear what he has to say, then tough. It is talk radio, after all. And when people tune in, they want to hear the host opinion. They want to hear controversy. They want to be challenged and pushed to their limits. That is what good talk radio is all about. Now, if you want to sit there by your computer or your radio every day and be educated, then you might want to look into buying some of the really terrific educational CDs available on the internet. I'm taking a couple of those courses myself right now, and they're very enlightening and very useful, but they do not satisfy my thirst for political discussion. They do not satisfy my hunger for knowing the pulse of American political discourse. I'm more than just a student of democracy. I'm actively participating in it, and I must have a dialogue and discussion with my fellow Americans. That's what this talk radio is all about. And that's what Mike Malloy does the best. Sure, sometimes he's a little rough with a caller who openly baits him with their stupid calls, but Mike always gets his point across. You're never left scratching your head saying, gee, I wonder what Mike means. I love people like that. I identify with them because they have the guts to lay it on the line, whether others like it or not. And Mike Malloy has laid it on the line for many years, and he'll do it again somewhere, sometime very soon. I just hope the management of AAR have now realized that they've made a huge mistake by letting him go, that they've stifled the voice of one of the best talkers ever to be on the air, and I thought that one of the mainstays of AAR was to open up the airwaves to the naked, undeniable truth. The fact is, I'm totally ashamed of Air America Radio right now. And so as I started out this little talk, I hope they're feeling exactly what Joseph McCarthy felt when Edward R. Murrow was done with him. Shamed, defeated, and hopefully knowing that they have really, really screwed up in a big way. That's my feelings about the Mike Malloy situation. And I know a lot of you feel exactly the same way. You've written, you've called, you've let me know. It's a rotten shame. Like I said, we're going to have Mike on the program one day this week. I'm not sure which yet. Kathy told me yesterday that they are traveling, and I'm not going to say where, but they're traveling. And as soon as they light and know about a good landline they can use and so forth, we'll be talking to him, and we'll get his side of the story and find out. As far as I'm concerned, there only is one side of the story. Just one. It's his. Because those sons of bitches over at Air America Radio aren't going to tell you the truth. You know that already. You already know that. It's not sour grapes. It's not any built-in resentment or anything like that that I have for Air America Radio. I don't really care much about it, to tell you the truth. I could listen to Mike Malloy, and that's about all on that network. And I am sorely disappointed, as I mentioned last week, and I know times are different, and I told you that little story last week about kind of leading an insurrection at a radio station that I used to work at years ago when the management was giving one of the staff trouble. I stood there and looked him in the eye and said everybody was walking out, and we all walked out together. I know it's different nowadays. And I know a lot of people probably on that network can't walk away from some big money that they're making. I know that. But I expected more from some of them. I haven't heard much so far. Have you? And I guess I'm not going to, because I'm not going to be listening. Well, hey, let's head on out for a break, and we'll be back in just a couple of minutes.
Sweetie, I love you, but those jeans have got
to
go.
Yeah, I know. Grab me a pair next time you go to the store, would you?
No.
Uh-huh.
I'm not going there anymore. I can't stand it.
What do you mean?
It's just awful, honey. The only smile in that building is that big yellow face. Everybody else looks miserable, and I can't find anything there that's made in our country. That bothers me.
Well, nobody makes clothes in America anymore.
Au contraire, mi amigo. There's a ton of American-made clothing at No Sweat.
Well, where's this No Sweat store? Out at the mall?
No, silly. I found them at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. There's a link there. I already ordered some great workout gear, and I also got you some new jeans. They'll be here in a couple of days. Surprise.
HeadOnRadioNetwork.com?
Uh-huh. Just click on the No Sweat banner. You're right there. Helps union workers and helps support America's other liberal network. Cool, huh?
I knew listening to the horn was a good idea.
Whose idea?
Your idea, dear. All the good ones are.
Union made? No sweat. Great prices? No sweat. Great looks? No sweat. No sweat at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. Click the banner. Do the right thing.
I've always hated Blockbuster.
Target. McDonald's. The Gap. Pepsi. Nike. IBM.
Starbucks. Not quite so much. If I'm not boycotting at least three oil companies, I start to feel out of touch. I wouldn't be seen in Nordstrom's or any such. And I hate Walmart. I don't like whips. I don't like chains. I don't go chopping up my neighbor's brains. Don't really like shopping, except at the flea market. I hate Walmart. Now you may wonder, what's all this fuss? If you don't like the train, take the bus. Well, I found religion, and just between us, I hate Walmart. Company sell the low cost, drive mom and pop out of business. Pretty soon all over the land, one big square store, identical brand, and that's why I hate Walmart. Used to be you drive around, stop in three or four towns, encounter different sights and sounds, different if not unique. Different accent, different smell, different things to buy and sell. Now it's all Taco Bell, I hate Walmart. Slow, relax your mind. Never knew what you'd find around the next bend. But now the freeway goes so straight, it go right past the pearly gate. I don't feel human, I feel like freight. I hate Walmart. I like to roam, I like to greet individuals on the street. You always know the one you meet is one of a kind. But more and more, they seem to me reflection of something on TV. When we're all alike, nobody's free. Boycott New Gingrich. I boycott everything which I've seen advertised. I used to go out for dinner in a diner. Now they say fast food is finer, but it tastes like it fell out of an airliner. It's enough to make you weep. I don't like board games. I don't like brand names. They make inflated claims. They're full of beef. Everyone I meet is a high-tech guy that wants to sell me a digital potato peeler. And I don't like Garrison Keillor, cause he's so radio dial. Like to hear something new once in a while, but it's the same old crap in a brand new style. It's audio rape. Still, I tried to pick and choose. I turn the dial, but always lose. They only play the words rock and roll, and once in a while, if you're lucky, maybe one little rhythm and blues, and that's why God made tape. Used to be we wore beads and bells, made our own clothes in our own way. Now we all wear uniforms at Hard Rock Cafe. We're in a state of sartorial decay, and that's why I hate Walmart. There's a pretty spot to pave it over. Put a clover leaf over a four-leaf clover. Black paint on a white cliffs of Dover. It never fails. Hope you like this song. Sing some blunt. Could go on, but I got a great lunch. If you didn't like it, I've got a hunch. You work in sales. Non-shopping to an art, and whatever you do, don't shop at Walmart.
Hey, we're back. Hope you liked that great advertisement for our good friends over at Walmart, the bastards. We've got a Walmart at every corner where I live. You have it that way, too. Man alive, they're taking over. Just all across the nation, killing every little mom and pop business that they possibly can. That's what Walmart's all about. But that's not what I wanted to talk to you about today. No, it really isn't. And I... You heard the rhetoric start. You've heard the rhetoric war start last week with Rumsfeld and Cheney and the human scum like them out there doing their political talking. And I hope you're ready. Yesterday, and by the way, I hope you had a good Labor Day yesterday. I didn't mention that. I hope you do. And it was off yesterday, so didn't really do a Labor Day show. But hope you didn't do any labor yesterday. That's not what it's all about. But anyway, all you working folks, I hope you had a good day yesterday. And really and truly, Labor Day is always kind of the kickoff, the official kickoff, I guess you would say, if there is an official kickoff date, of the political season on the for the midterm election year or general election. I hope you all went out and voted today. My wife and I went out first thing this morning, went down, cast our votes. Cast them proudly. Well, we didn't have a lot to vote for here where we live in the Democratic thing because there aren't many many Democrats here, but proudly cast our votes for Rod Smith for governor in the Democratic primary here in Florida. I'm not about to vote for James Davis, a man that helped sponsor the bankruptcy bill. A Democrat who did that is persona non grata in my book. So voted for Rod Smith, met him, know him, like him. He's a great guy, and I think he'd make a great governor. So anyway, that's what I did. There's my official exit polling information for you. But, you know, this starts a political season yesterday, and I hope you're ready. I really hope you're ready for what's going to happen between now and Election Day, really. Because you think it's going to be mean? You have no idea. Trust me. I'm an old farm boy, and I've actually seen rats cornered and how they react to that, and it isn't pretty. Cornered rats will do anything to escape, anything they can do within their power, and make no mistake, these people are cornered rats right now. They are sitting atop a mountain of disastrous consequences that they've created for our country, and they still feel that they can prevail if given more time, and they will fight to the death to get that time. Just you wait till you hear some of the rhetoric they spew as Election Day draws near. Rummy and Cheney's opening salvos last week were nothing compared to what you're going to hear. And we're going to talk about Condi Rice's statements yesterday in just a moment or two. Before this is all over, Democrats, well, except for Joe Lieberman, of course, Democrats are going to be compared to Hitler, Attila the Hun, Pol Pot, Stalin, Charlie Manson, everybody all rolled into one like that. That is their strategy. Paint us as un-American, dangerous ideologues who want to destroy the American way of life. You've already heard that we're the Hitler appeasers. You've heard that one already last week. And we're going to mention that in just a moment or two. And just imagine what they'll say as the election draws near and they find that they're in serious danger of losing the House and the Senate. Last Friday, I'm driving down the road, and I know, don't chastise me too much for this, but I turned on that little Nazi bastard Hannity on my radio dial. I did. It was an accident. I didn't mean for it to happen. But it happened. And there he was, proclaiming in a ever so hysterical voice that 52% of Ned Lamont's backers are in favor of impeaching the president. 52%, he screamed. Now, actually, I was astonished hearing that. I could scarcely believe that he was saying. I was horrified. Horrified that it was only 52%. Frankly, I'm extremely disappointed. If those figures are right, I'm disappointed it's not more like 92%. Really? What the hell's the matter with somebody who wouldn't want this guy dragged out of the White House and thrown out the front gate for all of his crimes against this country and her people? How could you not be for that? Oh, don't give me that. Don't give me that bleeding heart thing. Oh, yeah, but, you know, here's a bull. He needs to be dragged out the front gate of the White House and turned out of office. That's what needs to happen. And Hannity's on here said, oh, 52% of Lamont's people want to impeach the president. Oh, how awful. You know, Bush's very presence on TV today, and I hope you didn't have to see that. I watched a little bit of it so I could know what I was talking about. His very presence on TV causes our own citizens and people in other countries to turn their backs on him with shame and with contempt. And he's reviled by the peoples of the entire world, except for a few politically unbalanced people on the right in this country. And yes, you heard me right, unbalanced. I'm not going to be nicey-nice anymore and say, oh, people can have honest disagreements about Mr. Bush and all that. Bullshit. That's not how it is. You cannot have an honest disagreement about a man like George Bush. You can't do it. He's an imbecile that happens to be ahead of this country and is ruining this country. You've got to be unbalanced if you're still on his side. You have to be. There's something wrong with you. You can't be of sound mind and be in favor of backing this guy's policies any longer. We've all had plenty of time to digest and analyze what he's done to our country, and any person with a normal brain function would say that he's been nothing but a disaster for our country from the very moment he laid his hand on the Bible the day he was sworn in. Every single policy of his has been a disaster for our nation. Every action of his, even some of it, which might have had some merits, were screwed up in their application. I can't think what those might be, but there must have been something. Even the war in Afghanistan, which most of America was behind, was totally botched from the very beginning. We were there to throw out the Taliban and snare bin Laden. And we failed miserably at both of those endeavors. Why? One word of explanation will suffice. Incompetence. The man was overmatched for the job from day one. Karl Rove is our modern day Benedict Arnold by promoting Bush and getting him elected, and he's done more harm to this country than old Benedict Arnold ever had a chance to do. Karl Rove is such a traitor to this nation, for he had to know the intellect of this bozo he so ardently pushed into the Oval Office. Rove was fully aware fully and completely aware that he was putting a man in the Oval Office so hopelessly out of touch with reality into the most important job in the world, Karl Rove is indeed a traitor to this nation. And I don't say that with tongue-in-cheek, in jest, or any other way than deadly serious, for what Karl Rove has done to America is absolutely unforgivable and puts him in the class of Benedict Arnold, Alger Hiss, Aldrich Ames, and Aaron Burr. You think I'm kidding? You compare the damage any one of those guys did to America to the Karl Rove's damage, and then tell me I'm out of line with my comparison. You do that. Now, I hope you're ready, because they're starting to bare their teeth, they're sharpening their long knives, and they're preparing to wage an all-out campaign of hate, of lies, of distortion, and pure fantasy in order to protect their hold on power in our government. And Bushy started it today with that idiot speech of his. And when they lose, and they're going to, that's not going to be the end of it. Have you thought about the aftermath of them losing their power? Can you imagine the right-wing media attacks day after day? And don't forget, here we have the captain and crew of the Titanic, which I've given you this little analogy before. The captain and crew of the Titanic, which has already been sliced open by the iceberg. We've got these guys turning the keys over to the ship to someone else, and they'll be saying, okay, boys, go ahead and see if you can save her now after she's half underwater. That's exactly what we're happening. That's what's going to happen. We're in a war, all right. Oh, we're in a war. They're absolutely true about that. We are in a war. The worst war we're involved in is right here within the borders of this country. And you know what? The war within our own borders is the one we have to fight first, or we will most certainly lose to the enemy from outside of our borders. If we can't be a nation that's willing to talk to our adversaries, try our very best to reason with them, develop a give and take with them instead of being the bully on the block, until we can learn to do that, until our Department of State becomes a real function of the government once again, we are screwed, and I mean get out the lubricant of your choice, because you are screwed. So the first war to fight that we've got to fight is within our own borders. We have to take back the control of this government. And I mean federal, state, courts, everything. We have to take back control of government from this band of neocon warmongering crazies who are running the show right now. They're fanatics who have a thirst for power. They want complete control of everybody's lives and dominion over everything and everyone on this planet to satisfy their desires and their greed and their maniacal reasoning that they know all, that they know what's best. Have they proven they know what's best? All one has to do is look at their record since they took control of our government, and you can see a spiral that is unquestionably heading straight downward. The laughable thing is, they boast that it's they, meaning the terrorists, they hate us for our freedom. They hate us for our freedom. Are they voting to take our rights away? Are they voting to spy on our own citizens? Did they grab Bush's hand and force him to sign orders to illegally spy on American citizens and therefore become a felon? Did they do that? I think not. Don't misunderstand what I'm saying here, and I'll get to the phones in just a minute. I'm not advocating the abolishment of the Republican Party. Quite the contrary. I want to bring back the real Republican Party. The real Republican Party that I had honest disagreements with, but nonetheless trusted to do the right thing for America because I actually thought they were true and tried and patriotic Americans. They used to be that. The Republican Party that I didn't worry about ruining our military and our good standing with the rest of the world. That is the Republican Party that I want to see flourish and come back. I disagree with many Republican ideas. But I'll tell you honestly that when Barry Goldwater and Nelson Rockefeller and Dwight Eisenhower and Everett Dirksen were heading that party, I never worried that they'd destroy our country. I never worried that they'd go off half-cocked and turn the an entire world against us. They were good men who loved this country first and their party second, and they showed it over and over and over again. They were patriots. You may not have liked everything they did, but they were patriots, and you couldn't deny that. These people in power now are nothing more than despots in blue suits, disguised as statesmen, and there isn't a handful of honest statesmen among the whole lot of them. And to be fair, I'll include some Democrats in on that group of selfish, self-serving clowns as well. So get ready. You think you've seen mean-spirited politics? You think you've seen the worst of them? You have not. As a party, they are standing on the gallows, the nooses around their necks with the trapdoor about to be dropped, and they know it, and they will do anything, and I do mean anything, to keep from losing power. Remember that just last week, and I know a lot of you heard this, last week, Sean Hannity stated on his program that it would be worth dying to keep Nancy Pelosi from becoming Speaker of the House. Are those the words of a zealot or not? And remember, he's one of their leaders. Remember that word, anything. I mean it. Is it extreme to say that? Perhaps. But we're dealing with the worst, most dangerous kind of extremists. We're dealing with extremists who have taken our nation to war under false pretenses and are seeking to expand that war even further to include almost all of the Middle East. We're dealing with American extremists who have gotten 20,000 of our kids maimed and 2,600 of them killed, over 2,600 now, in a war that needn't have been, and have shown not a drop of remorse for doing it. Not a drop of remorse for doing it. In fact, they've shown nothing but arrogant defiance for doing it. This is a group who, have given full rein to do what they wish, would drop nuclear bombs on some other countries this very afternoon. And you know it. If they thought they could get away with it with the American public and the rest of the world, they'd send the planes and the missiles off at this very moment. You've seen them defending this rationale over and over and over again. And the truly horrifying part of it all is that they've actually seemed to believe their insane ideas are best for this country and the world. I truly believe they're suffering from some sort of maniacal paranoia that people from ordinary means would have been locked up and confined for a long time ago. Well, I've probably said enough. My blood pressure's most likely over the top right now, but I do worry about my country. And I'll tell you this much, and I know a lot of you feel the same way, you've told me so. My worries are not caused by these so-called Islamo-fascists, that word they love to throw around now. My worries are not caused by them at all. My worry is about the people dressed in blue suits inside the Beltway of Washington, D.C. That's who I worry about. 866-546-5254. 866-546-5254. I do hope you'll give us a call, and we'll be back in just a moment or two. Don't go away.
Peter said to Paul, you know all those words we wrote are just the rules of the game, and the rules are the first to go. But now talking to God is Laurel begging Hardy for a gun. I got a girl in the war, man, I wonder what it is we've done. Said to Peter, you gotta rock yourself a little harder. Pretend the dove from above is a dragon and
Josh Ritter singing that song. I do love it. I do love that song. Josh, thank you for that song. Yes, very much. Hey, thanks for listening to Guy James Show today. I know I'm a little talky today. I've had, got a lot on my mind, and I hope you will give us a call. We got the phone lines lit up here, 866-546-5254, 866-546-5254, and let's go to the phone. Hi, you're on the Guy James Show.
Guy.
Yes, sir.
Oh, hi, it's Larry from Canada's Roo, PA. How are you today?
Hi, Larry. How you doing?
I'm doing great, thank you. Hey, just real briefly, I love the Republican spin machine and their new words, and I wanted to talk about Islamofascism.
It was strangely missing from Mr. Bush's speech today.
Yeah, can I dissect that momentarily?
Why, you sure can.
Okay. Now, if we take the first part of that, Islamo, I think we can all assume that means Islam. Fair enough.
Yeah.
I can accept that. Now, fascism, if I can read from Webster's Dictionary, a governmental system led by a dictator having complete power, forcibly suppressing opposition and criticism, regimenting all industry, commerce, etc., and emphasizing an aggressive nationalism and often racism. Now, as far as this Democrat's concerned, that's a perfect definition of President Bush.
Exactly.
Okay, so now we have Islamo-fascism, so we could have Islamo-Bush, which doesn't make too much sense to me. I don't think that Bush is a Muslim, I doubt it. Or, if you use another definition from the dictionary, it could possibly mean Muslims that support Mussolini. Now, I don't think that's the case either.
Very good.
So I'm wondering, if they're going to put these fake words together, why don't they at least put something together that makes proper grammatical sense?
Yeah, and who's the governmental leader of Al Qaeda?
no one.
Yeah.
They're using terms that don't even apply to the enemy that they're purporting to fight. And I just think that it's you know, they come up with these words and if they want to launch holy crusades, that's fine. Just leave me out of it. That's all I'm asking them.
Yeah, but you know, Larry, those words just appeal tremendously to those morons that voted them into office.
Yeah, I know, Guy. And I just think, though, I do feel sorry for certain decent people in the Arab and Muslim community, because as much as he's tried to make peace with Muslims in general, I think that to use a term like that is a big broad brush that really is kind of out of line, I think, for the president and people in his party to use. If they're going to come up with a term like more specific, say, radicalism or, things that have a more general scope, I don't have any problem with that per se. But to use this kind of term, I think, is just inflames people that we don't want to inflame, and how that can help us as Americans out, I frankly don't know.
Just breeds more hatred every single day.
Exactly. That's all I wanted to say. I appreciate the time.
Hey, thanks for calling from good old Hannonsburg.
It's a pleasure. Thank you very much.
Bye now.
Bye-bye.
And I think we're going from there to the glass city of Toledo, Ohio.
Good afternoon, Guy. What a great show today.
Hi, Bill.
When I talk about talk radio, I talk about Guy James.
Well, thank you, Bill. That's a compliment coming from you.
Listen, I did a labor of love on Labor Day, and I have a few short quotes for you, and they pertain to you, George Bush, your listeners, and one of the people that's dearest to your heart, Dick Cheney.
Yes, one of my favorite guys.
Okay, can I start?
Yes, sir.
Okay, to argue with a man who has renounced the use and authority of reason and whose philosophy consists in holding humanity in contempt is like administering medicine to a dead man. I think that's a great one.
Yeah, who said that?
Well, let me read the rest, and then you'll tell me.
All right.
Okay, this is for George Bush. It is easy to tell a lie, but it's difficult to support the lie once it is told. And this one here is for George Bush and his family. When we are planning for prosperity, we ought to remember that virtue is not hereditary.
Oh, my God. Truer words were never spoken than that.
Okay.
I'm going to talk. You know, I told somebody, Bill, the other day, and I don't know. I just threw up my hands the other day on Friday or Saturday and said, I've had it. I've had it. I've really had it. I've got to let loose on a few things, and we're going to talk about the Bush crime family that Mike was so happy to call them all the time. Well, we're going to talk about some of those folks a little later on in the program today. You know, the American public wouldn't believe the cesspool that is the Bush family. They just wouldn't believe it if they read all that about the Bush
family. I'm a true believer, Guy, and I know you know that. I have just a couple more quotes.
Yeah.
That are really great, and when I'm done, I want you to tell me who these are from.
Oh man,
you'll get it. I'm sure you will, because you study history. Where knowledge is a duty, ignorance is a crime. This is for the voters out there. What renders us kind and humane is not sympathy; it is the power which I have of putting myself in my neighbor's place. One more for the voters. Let us be careful not to promote the cause of delusion and falsehood. For George Bush, we may as well attempt to unite truth and falsehood as inspiration and contradiction. One more for Bush. Every lie is welcome that suits its purpose. And for your listeners, the ear, and absolutely for your listeners, the ear cannot commit no crime, but the tongue may. And the last but not least is for your great friend, Dick Cheney. There are men in all countries whom a state of war is a mine of wealth. It is a fact never to be doubted.
Boy, man, there's a lot of
are those
wisdom.
Some great quotes?
They are, and you know, I don't know who said them. They are certainly all at least the mindset. I don't know if he said them, but they certainly are the thinking and mindset of one Abraham Lincoln for sure.
Here's the last thing I'll read to you, Guy.
Okay.
The man advocated a liberal word view considered radical in his day. He dismissed monarchy and viewed all government as, at best, a necessary evil. He opposed slavery and was among the first proponents for Social Security and a public education, a guaranteed minimum wage, and other radical ideas now common practice in most Western democracies. A great American for whom there is no holiday, but I believe there should be.
No holiday, but who should be?
Thomas Paine.
Man, was he ahead of his time or what? Of course, many of those things, many of those platitudes will cover any period in history, but they're particularly appropriate right now, are they not? Yeah.
They sure are. I just happened upon this site, Guy. And once I was on it, I just absolutely couldn't go away from it. Because I, like you, I do love history.
Yeah.
And was very, very influential in bringing this country together. In fact, you know, probably anybody out there who's listening knows that these are the times that tried men's souls.
Yep, that's for sure.
Was led to the troops before George Washington crossed the Delaware.
Right, right. Well, great American, and lived in a very difficult time, and reminding us.
He had some very radical views, and probably what got him into most trouble was his views on religion.
Well, Thomas Jefferson said, and I'm paraphrasing, that there'd be nothing wrong with a good revolution now and then. So, I don't see anything wrong with a good peaceable one right now.
A peaceable revolution, and yes. Throw the bastards out.
Yep.
Absolutely. Guy, what a great show you're having today, and I just can't wait to listen to the rest of it.
Hey, thank you. Thank you very much.
What a great show host you really are.
Thanks so much.
Okay, thank
Appreciate
you,
it.
Guy, and thank you for your time and your listeners.
Yeah. Bye now.
Bye.
Hi, you're on the Guy James Show.
Hi, this is Juanita.
Hi, Juanita.
I'd like to say a couple of little things about the election today and Mike Malloy.
Yes.
but first of all, I want to say that I totally agree with what you're saying about Mr. Pretzel.
Yes.
You know, I had this mistrust of him from the beginning, the first time I ever knew who he was. And I felt an evil in Cheney, and I was able to watch all of the things that went on with the 2000 elections, you know, all the trials and all that kind of stuff.
Yes.
And I had a feeling that I should journalize it all, but I was a Christian, and I thought that wouldn't be very Christian-like of me to do, which that was stupid. But anyway, I think a lot of people think, if they don't believe that somebody could be that evil, they's got to be good. But I don't think there's anything good about any of them. I think that they are evil incarnate. I really believe that.
I tried so hard early on to see something about this good old boy George Bush. I did. I tried very hard.
And, you know, the first thing that I know that they passed was about they weakened the ergonomics laws for the working people.
Sure.
That was done almost right away. And also they made a big loan to the Afghanistans. You know, this was before 9/11.
That's right.
And concerning their piping, you know, or whatever, going through from Iraq to Russia or something, I believe.
Yeah.
And I hardly really knew much about Iraq. I mean, Afghanistan.
Well,
then,
we've all learned a lot about the Middle East now, haven't we?
We sure have.
Hey, gotta run, Juanita.
Well, I wanted to talk. Okay. I'll talk to you later.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Hi, you're on the Guy James Show.
Yeah, hi. You're a long wait.
Pardon me?
Barcola's ahead of me.
Yeah, go ahead.
Oh, am I on the show right now?
Yes, you are.
Oh, Mr. James, hi. George, my name is George Mitchell. I'm calling from L.A. I was just going to turn this down because I didn't realize I was going to be on the show.
Well, I accidentally dumped the phone lines there.
that's how that went. Okay. Yeah,
there's a button here that dumps them, and I did. So my apologies to everybody, and we'll get to you right after the top.
All right. Well, it's all right for them. But, for me, it's great. Listen, it seems like we have like a Hobson's choice up in front of us here with Bush with this coming election. If we haven't learned by their track record that these guys are not going to, pull out every stop. The election's probably already in the bag. If we haven't learned that already, then we're in deep trouble. And the Hobson's choice is, if we do anything about it the day after the election, if the people rise up, Bush can declare martial law.
Yeah.
Just start putting people in these camps that have already been set up all across the country.
Yeah, these FEMA camps, right?
FEMA camps, exactly. I talked to Bob Kincaid about it, too, and it's really a Hobson's choice. I don't know how we, Bob's been, spending all his time in D.C. this month. And I think what we should really be, I think you understand this too, concerned about right now is not, or even Iraq is a distraction right now. Keeping our government, winning our government back is the main thing we have to worry about. If we don't get our government back, Iraq, Social Security, everything else is moot.
Exactly. I absolutely agree.
One issue only, concentrate on getting our government back, and not with this ability to declare martial law, to suspend the Constitution and the Bill of Rights, and even the election, if he wanted to beforehand. I don't know what we're going to do to get around this. People have waited much too long.
Well, if we take back the House and the Senate, I know the righties hate to hear us say it. I figure I'm going to hold my elected Democrats accountable if they don't impeach this guy. They've got to.
Well, no. I understand what you're saying, guy, but if the election's fixed like the other last two of them.
Yeah, well, that's true.
And it's in the bag, and they go into election day where 30% approval rating, and they win the election. And then the next day, what do we do? What do? We rise up, and martial law is declared.
I was thinking about that this morning as I was standing there looking at that black box voting machine as I was punching my little choices into it. I was thinking, oh, my God, here we go.
Here we go again, it was funny. Last Friday, I was at the VA and the VA hospital where I live, and I was talking to somebody, and this guy, this redneck from Boston, got up, and he started going off about how Bush, it was like, it was like Sean Hannity, it was like listening to Hannity, and then it was point for point, even he had some of his, the forefinger and the thumb close together with that little thing Hannity does all the time.
Yeah.
He even had some of his moves down. And I went off on this guy, and this guy went off on me, and this guy could have probably twisted me into a pretzel, And this old guy spoke up, and the guy went off on him, and the guy came, he said, this guy turned around and said, "What do you know to the old man?" The old man got up and started to walk away, said, "I'm going to get in trouble if I stand here." And I said, "I'm with you, sir." And I got up and walked away with him, and someone said, "General Fileman." And the guy turned around and went into one of the offices. The guy was a general, And this guy was like a redneck, and the general took up for me, what I mean? And when the general got out of the office, I said to him, "General, this is the first time in my life I'd ever even think I'd say this. I'd welcome a military coup." And he started laughing. He goes, "You're not the first person who said that to me."
Yeah. Yeah.
But I'm not. Just something for you and the guys there to ponder, for the listeners to ponder, because right now I think we should boil it down to one issue, guy, and one issue only, saving our nation.
Well, that's got to come first. Hey, got to run. Thank you so much for your call. I appreciate hearing from you. Great call.
You too, guy. Bye-bye.
Everybody else is going to have to wait till after the news at the top of the hour. I'm sorry. We're getting close to that time, and I don't want to put you on the phone and have to cut you off right away. We got news coming up in, a minute and 8 seconds from now, so we I won't take any more calls until after the top of the hour and hope you'll be patient with that. We have a lot to talk about. I do want to talk about the Condoleezza Rice statement about the slavery. I there's a concentrated effort going on, and you know it, and you see it, and you saw Bush changing his rhetoric a little bit today, and you didn't hear him say fascist today, and you didn't hear him say appeasers today. They're getting the message from the public out there, but they'll shape that message. They'll mold that message. Karl Rove will work with them on it so that they can get it as slick as possible and screw over as many voters again, they think, this time. We're not going to let that happen this time, are we? We are not going to let that happen this time around. We are going to educate people. We're going to talk to them. We're going to get them educated on what really is happening on the political scene in this country. And that's what we're doing here on the Head On Radio Network. All the shows on here. You're listening to the Guy James Show right now. And we hope you'll stay tuned till after the news. You better. I'll be back. You better be back, too.
This is the Quality News Network. Mexico finally has an official president-elect. The country's electoral court voting unanimously today to reject allegations of voter fraud and certify Felipe Calderón's narrow victory over Andrés Miguel López Obrador in July's presidential election. In Iraq, two Marines and one sailor were killed today in the Anbar province, bringing to 8 the number of American troops killed in Iraq in the last 2 days. With 2 months to go until the November elections, the latest CNN poll shows many congressional incumbents in trouble, with 55% of the public saying they prefer challengers to the incumbents, and 84% saying they are dissatisfied with Congress's job performance. Congress is back at work today on Capitol Hill after a 5-week recess. They'll adjourn again at the end of the month until after the elections. An agreement has been reached between Israel and the Palestinians to exchange an Israeli soldier kidnapped in Gaza in June with Palestinians imprisoned in Israel. Once the exchange has taken place, Palestinian President Mahmoud Abbas and Israeli Prime Minister Ehud Olmert are expected to meet in a peace summit. UN Secretary General Kofi Annan says he remains optimistic that Israel will lift its air and sea blockade of Lebanon sometime this week. In what's believed to have been an assassination attempt, a senior Lebanese intelligence officer who is heading the investigation into last year's assassination of Lebanon's former prime minister has been wounded in a remote-controlled roadside bomb blast that killed his 4 bodyguards. Iranian President Mahmoud Ahmadinejad is calling for the removal of liberal and secular professors from Iran's universities. Danish police have arrested 9 men believed to be plotting to carry out a terrorist attack with explosives. Jordanian authorities say the man who shot and killed a British tourist and wounded 5 others in Amman yesterday was acting alone and was not affiliated with any terrorist group. In Afghanistan, NATO and Afghan forces have reportedly killed up to 60 Taliban rebels in Kandahar province over the last 24 hours. The Derby fire in south-central Montana, which has burned more than 180,000 acres and destroyed at least 26 homes, now reported to be 25% contained. 5 weeks after intestinal surgery, Cuban President Fidel Castro is saying in a published statement that the worst is over and that he's recovering well. He adds, however, that his recuperation will take a long time. Former Arizona Highway Administrator Mary Peters has been appointed to succeed Norm Mineta as Transportation Secretary. Australia's Prime Minister is offering a state funeral to the family of Steve Irwin, the crocodile hunter who was killed yesterday by a stingray. Friends are planning a memorial service at Brisbane's soccer stadium. This is Quality News Network.
Most people would rather have a root canal than go to a dealer to buy a car. But you can turn dread into joy when you learn how to play the car buying game. Read the book, Right Car, Right Price, and you'll discover how the game is played and how you can win every time. Whether you're buying a car or a truck, new or used, Right Car, Right Price explains how to find and buy the vehicle best suited to your individual transportation needs. Auto Week called Right Car, Right Price the right stuff. So take the hassle out of car buying. Read Right Car, Right Price, and every time you get into your new car, you'll know you've got a great deal. Go online to rightcarrightprice.com to order your copy today. It only takes an hour to read Right Car, Right Price, and it just costs $10. We even pay the postage. So go to rightcarrightprice.com right now. It'll be one of the best decisions you ever make.
The head of the International Monetary Fund says he expects the global economy to grow about 5% this year, slightly better than earlier predictions. The world's largest microchip maker, Intel, is expected to announce a job cutbacks today, as many as 10,000. They follow a 56% drop in second quarter profits after Intel cut prices to compete with advanced micro devices. Microsoft has announced U.S. prices for its latest version of Windows called Windows Vista. The program, which will be available to the general public in January, will sell for between $199 and $399. For customers upgrading from Windows XP, the new Windows will cost between $100 and $259. The annual Jerry Lewis MDA telethon has set a new record, raising $61 million over the Labor Day holiday. Chevron says that with two partners, it has successfully drilled for oil in the deep waters of the Gulf of Mexico, an achievement that they say could mean a huge breakthrough in domestic oil supplies, though for its production isn't likely to come online for another 4 years. Gold is trading this hour at $646.90 an ounce. Silver is at $13.14 an ounce, up 7 cents. And light sweet crude is again lower, down 46 cents, trading at $68.73 a barrel. Wall Street trading is mixed this hour. The Dow Industrials are down 12 points at 11,452. NASDAQ is up 6 at 2,199. And the S&P 500 is up 1 at 1,312. More at QualityNewsNetwork.com. I'm Diana Walter.
What your country can do for you, ask what you can do for your country.
I have a dream.
This is the Guy James Show.
The world is getting older. There's a few things to be said. Do you believe the things they told you? Do you believe the things you read?
The Guy James Show, America's number one Democratic talk show. You've heard from the radical right. Now, all that's left is the truth. And now here's Guy James.
Hey, I told you I'm in a mood today. I don't give a rat's ass if they're bringing Edward R. Murrow back to take Mike Malloy's spot on AAR. It won't work for me. Uh-uh. No. Hey, and as I mentioned, we're going to have Mike on the program. Been in contact with Kathy, and we'll have him on the show this week. They're doing a little traveling here in the next two or three days, and when they get a hard line where we can get a hold of them and everything, could have talked to him on a cell phone, but as you know, that doesn't always work out so great. But so we'll get that worked out today. Welcome to the Guy James Show. We've got a lot to talk about this hour. I know we got a lot of phone calls to take and all that, and I hope to get through with everything. I do want to tell you something, and I want to tell you about the new policy here on the Guy James Show. It's not quite so new, but it's reinvigorated. Let's put it that way. It's a policy that I've gotten out and dusted off because I may have forgotten about it a little bit. Not going to spare the rod on these damn Republicans. Not going to do it. We've been civil. We've been nice. We've been all too nice and all too civil. And they broke out the big knives last week with the appeasers shit and all that stuff. Not going to take it. They can take it on the other shows they want to. We're not going to. We're going to fight back. That's what we're going to do. And I'm going to, later on this program, not today. Tomorrow, the next day, we're going to lay out the whole Bush family, sleazy, underworld, black-hearted family, greedy bastard history for everybody to hear. Facts. Nothing but facts. No rumors. Okay? If the American public knew all there is to know about the Bush family, that they've succeeded in throttling the press and keeping this news out of the press, the public would be aghast. I hope anyway they would. I hope they would just look at the history and the dealings that this family has had and who they had these dealings with and so forth. All the boys. If the American public saw this, there'd have to be a gasp, a collective gasp by the American voters. There would have to be. If there wasn't, I think I'd have to move out of the country because I would think my fellow citizens just weren't serious about being Americans anymore. Hey, let's go to the phones. Hi, you're on the Guy James Show.
Hi, Guy. It's Greg from Connecticut.
Hey, Greg, how are things in Connecticut?
Well, pretty good, pretty good. We're still going on
on Joe. You know, I think we have to be relentless and keep going.
I heard they made him march at the back of the parade yesterday.
Well, he marched at the back of the parade, and he had about 20 supporters compared to Ned's, you know, 100 and something, you know. But, you know, he had to be there. Of course, it was the first time he'd been there in, you know, 18 years. Well, the second time he'd been there in 18 years, you know. But it's politically expedient, so yes. he had to do it. But anyway, I'm in a kind of rotten mood like you are today. And first, you know, I just to refer to your first point, you were talking about how they're talking about the Nazi appeasers and all. If you're going to talk about the Bush family, I think we should first look at dear Prescott Bush, a former senator of Connecticut.
You are so timely, because I have a stack of notes in front of me a foot high that I plan on talking about today about that. And you just go right ahead with it.
Well, you know, we have that bastard Joe Lieberman who, you know, throws out the word anti-Semitic just because someone dares to challenge him. But yet he kisses the ass of Bush, whose grandfather helped build the Nazi war machine and helped finance the concentration camp.
Did in fact.
Yes. It's absolutely disgusting. And then to have these people get up and say that we're Nazi appeasers, and also for anyone who knows a lick of history will realize that it was the Republicans who had major opposition to World War II, including the famous pilot Charles Lindbergh.
You got it.
There was huge opposition by the Republicans. No, we don't want to get in that war, you know.
That's
and
right.
It took us being attacked for the Republicans to stand up and say, well, maybe we should get in the war now. So they're the last ones to talk about appeasing.
You betcha. You know?
And if, furthermore, if you want to talk about World War II, I mean, if you look and if you go to the Holocaust Museum in Washington, D.C., you'll see a whole room there about U.S. complacency, how we didn't do enough, and that it wasn't Hitler's original plan to annihilate the Jews. He wanted to get rid of them, but countries like the U.S. and France and other countries couldn't be bothered, so it led to the annihilation of millions and millions of Jews. You know, they have no right to talk about being a Nazi appeaser when that's their middle name.
Exactly.
But that's not the reason I called. I have something else to rant about today.
Oh.
And the thing I'm going to rant about right now is the piece of crap docudrama that is going to be airing on ABC over September 10th and 11th. I don't know if you've heard about
mm-hmm.
this. Well, you know, it's a complete distortion of the facts. First of all, they say it's based on the 9/11 report, but it distorts huge facts from the 9/11 report. Richard Clark is already screaming that it's completely inaccurate. The project is headed by this guy named Cyrus Novrastow or something like that, who is just a radical white right-wing nut. It's only being backed up by Tom Keene, the Republican member of the 9/11 Commission. No Democrats were asked. No vetting occurred with Democrats. It's all a complete, you know, election a year, partisan stunt.
Yeah, and they took the thing and passed out. They let it be reviewed by a bunch of right wingers, but nobody on the left, from what I understand, has had a chance to see it.
Not even the Democratic members of the 9/11 Commission.
No.
I mean, come on. I'm not saying take it to Daily Kos for a review, but at least let the members of the 9/11 Commission have a look at it. Or, you know, let Richard Clark, who was in the Situation Room, have a look at it, you know.
Well, Richard Clark, does he know or not? He knows exactly what took place.
Oh, he's having a fit about it.
With that phony Bin Laden thing that they were supposed to have him trapped and called the White House, and he said, no, leave him alone, all that. Clark said it was bull.
That's all been disproven so many times.
Hey, let me just play you one second. Let me just play you the most important part of that 9/11 hearing. That I bet's not in this little movie coming up. Here we go.
Okay.
Commissioner Benvenisi. Good morning, Dr. Rice.
Good morning.
Nice to see you again. I want to ask you some questions about the August 6, 2001 PDB.
I can't hear it,
though. Advised in writing by the CIA on March 19, 2004.
Guy?
At the August 6 PDB.
I can't hear it at all.
And self-generated by a CIA employee. The CIA clarified.
It's not coming over your computer?
No, I want my computer's turned off. If I turn the computer on, I'm going to hear back up.
The audience is hearing it.
But the audience heard it. That's the most important thing. But
wait, it's still playing.
You have said to us that the president directed the CIA to prepare the August 6 PDB. The extraordinary.
He's about to ask Condi Rice what they called that PDB.
Threat level in the summer of 2001 is well documented. And Richard Clark's testimony about the possibility of an attack against the United States Homeland was repeatedly discussed from May to August within the intelligence community.
I made this clip a little too long.
Documented. You acknowledged that Richard Clark, that Al Qaeda cells were in the United States.
It's still playing.
Did you tell the president at any time prior to August of the existence of Al Qaeda cells in the United States?
First, let me just make certain.
If you could just answer that question.
First, he's trying to get her to answer this question.
Did you tell the president?
He asked her about that PDB.
Right. Well, you know, Condi Rice is also the woman who said they just never imagined that they would crash planes into buildings, you know, and this is after Bush went to Genoa, and they provided for that very same thing.
Yeah, they're still...
First of all...
Here we go.
Yes, the August 6th PDB was in response to questions of the president. There was no recommendation that we do something about this. The FBI was pursuing it. I really don't remember, Commissioner, whether I discussed this with the president. I remember very well that the president was aware that there were issues inside the United States. He talked to people about this, but I don't remember the Al-Qaeda cells as being something that we were told we needed to do something about.
Isn't it a fact, Dr. Rice, that the August 6 PDB warned against possible attacks in this country? And I ask you whether you recall the title of that PDB.
I believe the title was Bin Laden Determined to Attack Inside the United States.
Yeah, there we go. Bin Laden determined to strike inside the United States. Sorry you couldn't hear all that, Mike. The audience finally could. We had a bad feed on it. But they want to go back and rewrite the history, don't they? They want to make this all Bill Clinton's fault, 9/11 now.
Yeah, you know, and you know, what always, you know, just frost my cake is when they start saying, well, you know, Bush, we haven't had any more attacks on American soil. What about Bill Clinton? He had one attack 2 months after he became president, for which, you know, you could easily blame Bush Sr., which he did not, and nothing else for the rest of his presidency.
That's right.
On American soil.
Absolutely right.
You know. But yet they'll continue to blame Clinton. But, then they did everything they possibly could to warn the Bush administration about 9/11. Everything was ignored, from Richard Clark to, Hart, Gary Hart. They had, the all sorts of things. There were proposals for reinforcing cockpit doors. You know, we could go on for three shows about everything that was done by the Clinton administration.
And they also failed they failed to remember that back in 1996, or maybe it was 97, Clinton tried to get some wiretapping business done of his own, legally.
And the Republicans blocked it.
Orrin Hatch, Trent Lott fought tooth and nail against it, didn't want anything to do with it. And Clinton tried to get it done way back then. And, you know, these guys, they got some pretty bad memories in Washington.
Yeah, and you know, the year that we spent looking at stains on a dress is the year that we could have spent fighting terrorism, but we didn't.
That's right. That's right.
So anyway, everyone out there, I would encourage them to give ABC a jingle and say that you're not going to be watching Desperate Housewives or One Life to Live or whatever, but, you know, if they're going to show this crap. Can I just give out the number if anyone feels inclined
to
call?
Yeah, go right ahead. You're
okay,
doggone right.
ABC headquarters, it's 212-456-7777.
All right.
Yeah, everybody give them a call. You know, also you can go to thinkprogress.org, and they have a letter you can send in and say this is disgusting. You know, this is these networks are so partisan, it's not funny.
Yeah, I see they're going to do it with no sponsors, so that people can't threaten them to boycott sponsors. But we could set up a boycott of ABC sponsors. I don't know what good to, but anyway.
Yeah, well, just tell them we're not going to watch the rest of the program. I basically stopped watching ABC when Disney wouldn't produce the Not Fahrenheit 9/11.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah. Well, there's going to be a lot transpire over that this whole thing this week, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, yeah. Well, anyway, that's my...
Thanks for your call.
Guy.
Good to hear from you.
Thanks.
Well, he brought that up. I'm going to talk about it. Appeasers. Bush didn't use that word today. I think he's been warned not to use it. And hey, and I'll get back to the phone in just a minute. If you're on the phone or dialing right now, just hang on for just a moment and I'll get with you, okay? My Republican neocon friends, you want to talk about appeasement now? Let's do. Since Mike brought it up, Let's talk about appeasement. Even though over the weekend on the TV talk shows, not a one of your mouthpieces that have come up with that line about appeasement, not one of them could come up with even one Democratic elected official's name who might be an appeaser. No, and they were asked the question. Let's go ahead and talk about appeasement for a moment. Let's talk about that famous, beautiful photograph of Donald Rumsfeld warmly greeting and shaking Saddam's hand, with both hands, I might add, on December 20th, 1983. Remember that date, December 20th, 1983. Rummy, the appeaser, who was calling us appeasers last week, was in Baghdad as a special envoy of St. Ronald of Reagan, whom you may recall was a Republican president wanting to make nice and help good old Saddam any way he could. Now, this wasn't before. This was not, and I want to stress this was not before any of the nasty things about Saddam gassing his own people came to light and using the chemical weapons on the Iranians. No. This wasn't before he was slaughtering the Kurds and anyone else who got in his way. This was at a time when Reagan removed Saddam's Iraq from the state-sponsored terrorist list. Prolonging Saddam's war against Iran was phenomenally expensive. Iraq received massive external financial support from the Gulf states and assistance through loan programs from the U.S. The White House and the State Department pressured the Export-Import Bank to provide Iraq with financing to enhance its credit standing and to enable it to obtain loans from other international financial institutions. The U.S. Department of Agriculture provided taxpayer-guaranteed loans for purchase of American commodities. The U.S. restored formal relations with Iraq in November of 1984, but the U.S. had begun several years earlier in the Reagan administration to provide it with intelligence and military support, and I might add, military support in secret and contrary to this country's official neutrality, in accordance with the policy directives from President Ronald Reagan. And so by the summer of 1983, Iran had been reporting Iraqi use of illegal chemical weapons for some time. Remember, Rummy's trip was the following December. The U.S., which followed developments in the Iran-Iraq war with extraordinary intensity during that time, had intelligence confirming Iran's accusations. They knew Iraq was using chemical weapons on the Iranians almost every single day. This was against American policy. But they decided to support Iraq in that war. The intelligence indicated that Iraq used chemical weapons against Iranian forces, and according to a November 1983 memo, 1 month before Rummy went and had that nice little handshake, huggy, good time with Saddam Hussein appeasing him, there's a memo in the National Archives of the United States government talking about him gassing the Kurdish insurgents. The butcher of Baghdad was openly killing Iraqi people with chemical weapons before Donald Rumsfeld went to visit and played nice with him. Who was there appeasing Saddam? None other than Donnie Rumsfeld, of course. The little sawed-off bastard who tried to accuse everybody last week of being appeasers. What was the Reagan administration's response to all that? A State Department account indicates that these are declassified documents, indicates that the administration had decided to limit its efforts against the Iraqi chemical weapons program. They're going to limit it. They're just going to monitor it because of our neutrality. This is during the Reagan administration. This is with the Donnie Rumsfeld appeasement, the envoy over there making nice with Saddam Hussein, knowing full well that they were violating international law and we were helping them do it. One time after another, after another, after another, we helped him. And Donald Rumsfeld was right smack dab in the middle of it when Reagan issued a national security directive specifically toward the Iran-Iraq war. Yeah, that directive reflected the administration's priorities. It called for heightened regional military cooperation to defend oil facilities. Oil facilities. It does not mention chemical weapons. It mentioned defending oil facilities. Nothing about chemical weapons. Who was doing the appeasing? So soon thereafter that, Donald Rumsfeld, who had served in various positions in the Nixon and Ford administration, including as President Ford's defense secretary, and now he's ahead of the big pharmaceutical company, G.D. Searle & Company, he was dispatched to the Middle East as a presidential envoy. His December 1983 tour of regional capitals included Baghdad, where he was to establish direct contact between an envoy of President Reagan and President Saddam Hussein and emphasize a close relationship with the president. Now remember, folks, this is the guy accusing the Democrats of being appeasers of terrorists, bragging about his close relationship with Saddam Hussein. Rumsfeld met with Saddam, and the two discussed regional issues of common interest, shared opposition toward Iran and Syria, and the U.S.'s efforts to find some sort of an alternative route to transport Iraqi oil. Rumsfeld made no reference in his meeting with Saddam Hussein, made no reference to chemical weapons, according to his own detailed notes on the meeting. They talked about shared interest. He later met with Tariq Aziz, the Iraqi foreign minister. And they shared a nicey-nice time for a couple of hours and talked about common interest. This is the same Tariq Aziz who's in prison for war crimes right now. This is Donald Rumsfeld's pal, the same Donald Rumsfeld who's now accusing Democrats of appeasing terrorists. And during that time, I want to remind you one more thing and I'll get to the phones. During that time, official U.S. policy barred the export of U.S. military equipment to Iraq. It barred it. U.S. law. And a lot of it was evidently provided to Saddam on a don't ask, don't tell basis by the Reagan administration. And in April of 1984, after we knew about these chemical weapons being used, the Baghdad interest section asked to be kept apprised of Bell Helicopter Textron's negotiation. Bell Helicopter, an American company, sold helicopters to Iraq under the full knowledge of the Reagan administration. They also sold heavy military trucks to the Iraqi administration, strictly illegal. They were used for military purposes. It was against American policy, American law. Don't ask, don't tell. Remember, it was Ronald Reagan, Republican Ronald Reagan, who sent Donald Rumsfeld to schmooze Saddam Hussein, an act that Rumsfeld did openly, he did willingly, and according to all we can gather, he did it with great joy and exuberance. And if you don't believe me, just look at the picture. God, these people are despicable. Let's go to the phones. Hi, you're on the Guy James Show.
Hey, Guy.
Yes.
Okay, you can hear me, right?
Yes.
Okay, this is Terry.
Hi, Terry.
How are you doing? I wanted to give you, you know, you were talking about the information pertaining to Bush. I wanted to give you a website that has that. It's online. Anybody can go to it. You can read it online. You don't need to download it. You can if you want. But the unauthorized biography of George Bush by Webster Tarpley. And it's at Tarpley, T-A-R-P-L-E-Y, .net/Bush.b.htm. And it's got, it not only has all of the information, it has all of the sites to all of the government documents. We're in public record where all of this stuff is recorded pertaining to, everything. You know, where the government seized all the properties and all the companies of Prescott Bush. And, I mean, it takes it from the very beginning all the way through to, like, 1991, I think it is.
Oh, yeah. I mean, there's plenty there. There's plenty there to keep you reading for a long time.
Yeah, see, in this book, the part that I thought was most interesting is probably a third of the book is footnotes, telling you where all the information came from.
Mm-hmm.
And another thing that, you know, like I've told a bunch of people, I said,
Okay, everybody knows how powerful the Bush family is. I mean, they literally do have some serious, serious power. If this book had inaccuracies or untruths in it, don't you think that they would come after this guy? Don't you think that there would be a court deal having this book removed?
Absolutely.
This thing is on the web.
Absolutely.
It's for free. The people that wrote this, they just want the information out. And there has not been anything pertaining to this book as far as any kind of court action, any kind of, I mean, nothing. There's been total silence from them. They cannot rebut it because all of the information come out of the public, come out of Congress, or the information part, you know, the government. It's all public record.
Came from our own National Archives.
That's the word I was looking for. And they have on there, they even list a lot of those documents. They list the timestamp of the day and the date, who signed for it, and exactly where it is. So if you want to go there, here it is, go look it up. I mean,
yep.
On site. So a lot of people have been believing that the Bush family is as vile, as evil, as criminal, as corrupt as any living human being who's ever drawn breath on this planet in all of time. They have a very difficult time believing that.
They do. And if you say it, they start talking about, well, you guys are just loony. You just hate him. You just hate him. I don't know the guy, so I can't say that I personally hate him, but I'll tell you what, I seem to hate everything that he stands for.
There is nothing pertaining to any of the Bush family. And it's hereditary. I mean, if you do a little bit of homework on Jeb and all these other people, what they were doing prior to, you know, back in the 80s, you know, Jeb was hooked up with all kinds of people down here doing all kinds of bank fraud and cleaning drug money and doing all that kind of stuff out of Miami, and they got all that hushed.
Hell, he was good buddies with Orlando Bosch, for God's sake. a known terrorist. A known terrorist.
Yeah, that's all public information. But see, a lot of people don't understand that, and they won't believe it. And you give them the documents and say, "Well, here's where it's located. Go look it up." Well, no, I'm not going to look up the government.
You know what the trouble is? It's too long. It's too detailed, and just doesn't make a quick sound bite. You can't do it with a sound bite. You actually have to read and study it.
Oh, absolutely. And you know this Bush family serves absolutely no positive use on this planet. They never have. They never will. And, I mean, it just goes down the line. Now, I also sent you a link here earlier today while the show was on. It says Bush Family Video. I want you to go in there. It's about a 10-minute video or something like that. I want you to go in there when you get a free minute. I want you to watch that. Whoever put that video together connects a lot of dots.
Yeah. Oh, good. I'll get a chance to look at it.
Time element, talking about Daddy Bush and et cetera, et cetera. It's you know, the information is all out there. People just don't want to dig it up. And once they do find it, or somebody finds it for them, says, "Here, go read this." You know, people just don't want to go read it.
Yeah, I see somebody posted that website on the chat room here on the Head On Radio Network chat room. Good. That's
good. Yeah, it's tarpley.net/bushb.htm.
Okay.
And you can go there. Every single chapter is there's a link to each chapter. I mean, you can go to this website's been up for, I don't know, I come across it about 5 or 6 years ago.
Yeah,
about 6 or 7 years ago.
Right.
But it's information that people can go and they can just sit there and they can read it at their leisure, or they can download it.
Yep.
You know, save it to their hard drive and read it whenever they want.
There's a lot there. Hey, thanks for letting us know, Terry.
Talk to you later, buddy.
Bye now.
Bye-bye.
Couple of things. Hey, I see the, you know, and I meant to mention, I had so much to talk about today, and I know just can't get around to everything today, but it is funny. What am I laughing about? I'm laughing about they're talking on the chat room, on the Head On Radio Network chat room, about catching number 2 Al-Qaeda guy again. You know, here's my analogy to that. They've caught the number 2 guy now, what, 70, 80 times? I'm not sure. What the deal is with Al-Qaeda is, and I explained, I put a post up on someplace today, I can't remember where. It's kind of like one of these big banks, Al-Qaeda is, where they got like 40 vice presidents. And the next step below vice president, you go directly to teller. So there really isn't any number three guy. They got like, you know, evidently if there's 7,000 people in Al-Qaeda altogether, and I don't know, they tell me there's not near that many, but if you had 7,000 people, about, you know, 6,500 of them, like a two number two man, then the other guys are the ones left to take out the garbage and stuff. So that number two thing, you know, you think they'd be wearing that out pretty soon, wouldn't you? Oh, but they never seem to. They just keep going right back at it. 866-546-5254. 866-546-5254. We're going to be back in a minute. Going to pause for a short break. You're listening to the Guy James Show on the Head On Radio Network. And, hey, when this show's over today, don't go anywhere. We've got Bruce Birch following us up until 7 o'clock, 5 to 7 Eastern Time. And the man, Bob Kincaid, coming up after that from 7 to 10. So don't you go anywhere. We expect you to stay right here with the Head On Radio Network. Oh, yeah. Busy day here at the Guy James Show. Just got a few minutes left, about 25 minutes left. 866-546-5254. Had a chance to get a little drink of water there. 866-546-5254. You know, I've noticed lately that the Republicans in their desperation, and my God, do they ever appear desperate? You know, it's kind of sad when you, well, not really. Have you noticed that they've got some mighty unusual people doing some of their talking for them these days? I watched, what was it, Cavuto the other day? Cavuto, I happen to be going by. Listen to this guy talking for him here.
But, Don, what do you make? I know you're friends with the president.
Yes, like Cavuto.
He's getting a lot of bashing on Katrina. Is there?
Well, the president is, I think, is a revolutionary president. He stands for inclusiveness. And not only that, he has given more women freedom than any other president in history with Afghanistan. And Iraq and the Middle East, he have freed a lot of women. So when the women's groups know, they must take note of that. A lot of women now, they've got the liberties and the freedoms, and they'll be able to vote and to be able to be active. It's because of President George Walker
but
Bush.
They say, and Democrats are talking about John Kerry, he said, post-Katrina, he's got a bum rap, slow to respond. Just heard Richard Simmons saying the money's still not getting there. What do you think?
Well, I think that, you know, you have to take it for what it's really worth. You know, John Kerry, you know, I love the man. He's a great American, but he's a flip-flopper. So when you're flip-flopping all the time, you don't know what stand he's really taking, so we can disregard that. But George Walker Bush is one of the best presidents we've ever had in the history of this country. Of this nation.
Nevertheless, better than 90% of African Americans opted for his opponent in the last election.
Because they didn't know any better. We've been indoctrinated. Yeah.
They didn't know any better. Don King. That's a Don King. You know that great American, Don King? Don King is right up there with Nathan Hale and all those people. Don King, I'm originally from Ohio. I've told you that many, many times. And not far from where I live was a place called the Marion Correctional Institute. It was the state prison. And Don King spent a good deal of his life in there. And I don't mean working there. No. The man is a shyster. He's a creep. And here he is on the Neil Cavuto show, speaking up for this great president, George W. Bush. Now, how would you like to have Don King speaking up for you? I think that's just amazing. And somebody sent me this morning, I promise. I said, oh, play it. They said, you know, we're talking about the compassion and the love and what a fine, fine bunch of people these Bush people are. Let's just play this some, and thanks for sending this here, Roy.
Houston, we may have a problem.
Almost everyone I've talked to says we're going to move to Houston.
Former First Lady Barbara Bush took note of the mood in the small city that's formed inside Houston's Astrodome. She says many simply want to stay put.
What I'm hearing, which is sort of scary, is they all want to stay in Texas. And so many of the people in the arenas here, you know, we're underprivileged anyway. This is working very well for them.
Ah, yes. It's kind of scary that they're going to stay in Texas, and this worked out real well for them down there in that Astrodome. So thanks, Roy, for sending that in. But isn't it amazing who they have talking for them? Don King. Don King, the spokesman now for the Republican Party. I'm going to keep that little clip forever and ever and ever because I'm just so... Well, I get a little tear in my eye when I think about it, that Don King is now doing, you know, the head spokesman for George Bush and the Republican Party. Maybe they'll get him out on the campaign trail. Oh, yeah. Good guy, that Don King. Oh, here it is, 4:39, and we got room for some phone calls, 866-546-5254, 866-546-5254. Secretary of State... what's her name? Yeah, Condoleezza Rice. Compared the Iraq War with the American Civil War, telling a magazine that slavery might have lasted longer in this country if the North had decided to end the fight early. She said, "I'm sure there are people who thought it was a mistake to fight the Civil War to its end and to insist that the emancipation of slaves would hold," Rice said in the new issue of Essence magazine. She said, "I know there were people who said, why don't we get out now, take peace with the South, but leave the South with slaves?" So now we're not only Nazi appeasers and commie bastards and all that kind of thing. Condi, I have to mention this. You know, how about the virtual American slaves the Republican Party is content to leave behind making $5.15 an hour right now? How about the slaves in the other countries we do business with and even some American protectorates, some of the ones Tom DeLay courted, for example, where the workers virtually are still slaves with the blessing of Tom DeLay in the Republican Congress. Now, you know, how about some of the same states who fought to keep their slaves still voting for conservatives in a block? The solid South. The solid red South. Now, Condi, there's something I didn't want to bring up since you were throwing your lot in with from Ian Cheney and the rest of the Republican bastards who are demeaning the character of anybody who thinks their disastrous policies are off base. This is something I'd really like to know, though. I really would. And I know many of my listeners have been wondering the same thing. Actually, I think I do know the answer to my question, but let's take a look anyway, Condi, my dear. There are those within the Republican Party who think you ought to run for president. We've all heard it. Condi, you don't have a chance. Forget it. Don't even consider it. Go back to buying shoes and playing the piano for Russians and get out of the government. Why? Because I suspect your own party wouldn't back you for president, Condi. That's right, your own party, at least its base, would never back you for president, Condi. Never. Why? Let me tell you why. For the same reason Ken Blackwell isn't getting the support of the Republican base in Ohio. For the same reason Lynn Schwan isn't getting the support he needs from the Republican base in Pennsylvania. For the same reason Colin Powell was totally ineffective as Secretary of State and almost run out of town on a rail by the Bush administration. It's because you are black, Condi. You are black. And the Republican base will never... never, not in your lifetime, they'll never support a black person for high office. And if you don't believe me, Condi, you head on down to the Capitol building, Condi, and meet with all the black Republican legislators, and then tell us how much support you'd get for president. And don't forget the Cheney girl, Condi. Oh, no, she's not black. Dick Cheney's lesbian daughter, the one who wrote a book, the copy of which are probably gathering dust in the publisher's warehouse somewhere because it sold about 6,000 copies. She was on every talk show there was promoting it and sold about 6,000 copies. A Republican wrote a book that didn't sell? How can that be? How can that be? Every Republican writes a book, sells millions of them. How can it be that Mary Cheney's book didn't sell? It's because she is a lesbian, Condi. The only thing worse than being a black Republican, or a lesbian Republican, I guess, would be a black lesbian Republican. You want to know the deep-seated feelings about race and homophobia that exist in the Republican Party? Just take a look at Ken Blackwell, Condoleezza Rice, Lynn Schwann, and Colin Powell, and the Mary Cheney situation. That ought to tell you all you need to know about this so-called Family Values Party. That ought to tell you what they think of anybody who is not white, Christian, straight American citizens. In a recent poll conducted in Ohio among Republicans, we saw that the Republican base fully supports Junior Bush's decision to keep Don Rumsfeld on. Now imagine that. With all that's going on, the Republican base in Ohio is in favor of keeping Donnie Rumsfeld as the Secretary of Defense. But that same base doesn't fully support Ken Blackwell, a black man running for governor in Ohio. Let's see now. Rummy is white. He screwed up the United States of America military as much as it could be screwed up, and he's still supported by Ohio Republicans. Blackwell? He's a black guy who's been a loyal Republican and helped throw the election for Junior Bush in 2004, but it doesn't matter. He's black. Yes, that part of the family values. I respect their family values the same way I respect the Charlie Manson's family values. That's about how good they are. They like to keep that part hidden, you know. Yes, they like to kind of keep that quiet. Oh. Yeah, there's black people. I know we don't have any black Republican senators, and I know we don't have any black Republican congressmen, but it's not because we're racist. Oh, no. No, that's got nothing to do with it. It's got nothing to do with it at all. We're not racist. It's just a damn coincidence that we've got 235 congressmen in the House of Representatives, and not a single one of them's black. It's just a coincidence that 55 senators are lily white in the Republican Party. And all across America, in the state houses, across this land, and all across America where you see the governors. It's just a coincidence. Why, it must be just a coincidence. It has to be just a coincidence, because this is the religious right. This is the Christian right. The people that have moral values, the people that have family values. And of course, they would never keep one of their own out of office because of the color of their skin, now would they? No. No, of course not. Why would I even suggest a thing like that? That'd be a terrible thing for me to suggest, wouldn't it? But it's true. And there's no denying it. There's no arguing the point. The facts are there for anybody to see. 100% white in the Capitol building Republicans. 100% white. Republican family values. I had so much I wanted to talk about today about Republican family values. You know, their family values are so far off the railroad tracks. It's going to take me a month to explain them all, but I'm going to do it. Oh, I'm going to do it. I'm going to delve into every one of their slimy, little, dirty Republican family values secrets. The Falwells and the Robertsons and the James Dobsons and all those folks. and the dirty, slimy history of the Bush family. We're going to talk about all that in the coming weeks in detail. So study up, kids. You'll want to get in on this conversation, I'm sure. And you know another thing, the story that was going around about these two Fox, they were Fox guys, weren't they? Fox journalists of some kind, I don't know, cameramen, whatever, that were, I guess it's not funny, but kind of like at gunpoint, they made him convert over to Islam. Now, why do you suppose those Islamic guys did that? Did they do that just to make asses out of these guys and show them that they had no moral values, or did they just do it to make them look bad? Well, I don't know why they did it. Who knows why they did it? But these guys, they said the words and everything, and they supposedly converted over to Islam. And now a lot of the right-wingers are, oh, that's terrible. These guys are just cowards. These guys are cowards. They said they'd become Islamists just to save their necks. Why, how cowardly of them. Why, I would never do that. No, I'm a good white Christian man. I would never do that just to save them. I would let them slice my throat or shoot me. Of course. I've never understood how these chest-thumping conservatives, so eager to wage war on Iran or have war waged on our enemies by our proxies, Israel and Hezbollah, could possibly ever characterize themselves as the ones who are tough on terror, when in truth, they'd sacrifice just about everything this country stands for and are doing it in an irrational effort to avoid the one out of a million chance that they have of being killed by a terrorist. Last time I checked, there were several terms we used to describe people who were afraid of their own shadow, and tough wasn't one of them. Let me ask my listeners, do you spend your days and nights worrying about getting killed by terrorists? Man, those Republicans are. Oh, boy. They're whipping that up day and night. Oh, God, be afraid. Be very afraid. Be so afraid. You're not enough afraid. Get more afraid, man. I mean, that's the message every day. Every day they're sending them out to talk on the TV, Bush Today. Here he is speaking amongst another group. What was it? The National Officers Association. You know, the jarheads and everything, where he knew nobody would speak a word against him ever. Man has such courage to go out and speak to groups like that, doesn't he? Such moral certitude. I admire him so much. Hey, we're going to take a little break. We'll be right back. Feel free to give us a call. Hey, you got a little time yet. 866-546-5254.
Yeah. What do you think tribal sovereignty means in the 21st century? And how do we resolve conflicts between tribes and the federal and state governments?
Yeah. Tribal sovereignty means that. It's sovereign. It's, you've been given sovereignty and you're viewed as a sovereign entity. And therefore, the relationship between the federal government and tribes is one between sovereign entities.
What are you, on dope?
We think so, too. Call Guy James now, 1-866-546-5254.
Welcome back for the last few moments of the program. We've got about 5-6 minutes left, and we're so glad you've been along with us today. I've enjoyed all you folks in the chat room and Head On Radio Network chat room and the folks over at Democratic Underground and smirkandchimp.com, and I get a chance to go through all this email after the show's over. God, we get a lot of email during the show that I'm afraid I just can't keep up with everything. But anyway, as promised, let's go back to the phones. Hi, you're on the Guy James Show.
Hi. Yeah, this is Herman from South Arlington, Virginia, not too far from the Pentagon.
Uh-oh.
You were reminding why they'll never let Condoleezza Rice run for office? Two words, George Allen.
Well, yeah.
His effort, you know, his bit with Makaka?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's right. That's right, Makaka. Hey, you know, that's hurt him, hasn't it?
Yep.
It looks like Webb's starting to really really do a number on him in the polls. You're really catching him.
Mm-hmm.
So you live in Northern Virginia.
Yeah, I'm not too far from the Pentagon.
Wow. How do you think it's going to turn out?
I don't know. Let's just hope we just keep the pressure up.
Yeah. Well,
okay, that's all I wanted to say.
Hey, thanks for letting us know that. It reminded, yeah, the Makaka story. Mm-hmm. Boy, that was a smart move, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Thanks so
Thank
much.
You, Guy.
Yeah. Ah, yes. I don't know. I never did find out exactly what that word means. I guess it's not very complimentary in some fashion, way or another, that nobody wants to be described as that. But to me, it's been discussed ad nauseum on the internet and in the press, that wasn't the most offensive part of it. It was the welcome to America. Here this man stands, whom I think George Allen is just a complete asshole. He's a bozo beyond belief. I'm fascinated that this guy ever got where he's at. I just can't believe it. There may be someone more stupid in Washington than him, but I'm not sure who it might be. I'm not sure. But here he is standing in the melting pot of the world, particularly in an area of the country where there are so many people from other ethnicities that have come to Washington for one reason or another. My God, everybody's in Washington. That's why I love that city. It's so vibrant and alive with people from every corner of the earth. And here he is. Here he is saying welcome to America to someone that doesn't look lily white and Caucasian like himself. Welcome to America. Someone that may well have been born here and whose parents may well have been born here. He's such a dope. He's such a dope. And, you know, you got Burns out in Montana. I mean, you've got some of these people. I tell you what, yeah, you know what would really be fun? It really would be fun. For the entire electorate, it would be fun to have one of those good old-fashioned contests on TV. Like they used to have, you know, the college one brain team from one college and one brain team from another, or the high schools we used to do on local TV, and they'd have this battle of wits and to see who was the smartest. Wouldn't that be fun to get all the Republicans and Democratic congressmen in a room and have some kind of a... Oh, somebody, Sarge, I think Sarge might be right on the Head On Radio Network chat room. Sarge says Santorum is more stupid. I am sorry, Sarge. I am sorry. I yield to you on that. I do yield to you on that. Yes, indeed. Rick Santorum, did you see that episode on Sunday? I got to see a replay of it. His so-called debate.
Oh, God. Santorum is such an offensive human being. Well, you know, him and his, what was his buddy's name from Michigan? They were up there proclaiming how they'd found the WMDs, finally. Who was it? The Pentagon said when is dangerous the stuff you've got under your kitchen sink. Ah, yeah. Sarge, you win. Santorum is the dumbest of the dumb. He is. But I'm going to give George Allen a close second. Hey, I do appreciate you guys being with us on the show today. I really do. It's great having you along with us each and every day. Birds of a feather and all that. I'd like you to encourage some of your right-wing friends to tune in now and then. Provide us a little entertainment value to the show. Yeah. We used to get lots of calls when we were on the terrestrial radio around here from the right-wingers, the crazies, and it was always kind of fun slapping them around a little bit. I know some people don't like that, but, you know, once in a while, it doesn't hurt to take a little verbal shot at somebody to work out your frustrations on these neocons. Hey, got Bruce Birch coming up next from 5 to 7, 7 to 10. We got Bob Kincaid here on the Head On Radio Network. I'm here as the Guy James Show. I am Guy James on the Guy James Show. Proud to be part of the Head On Radio Network. And got a lot of great programming coming the rest of the evening. So don't forget, you've heard from the radical right. Now all that's left is the truth.